Okay, we continue the Rambam Hilchis Schiris Perik Yud Halacha Aleph Chapter 10 Law 1. Amavis Chavero Al Hamashkin. If a person lends somebody something to his friend, but he takes a collateral on it, so the lender really is watching the collateral. Bein Shelvo Mos, doesn't matter if he lent him money. Bein Shelvo Peres, doesn't matter if he lent him fruits. Doesn't matter what the loan is about. Bein Shemishkinu B'Shasavasa, doesn't matter if he took the collateral at the time of the loan. Bein Shemishkinu Acher Shelvo, doesn't matter if he took the collateral after the loan began. So what's the status of the lender who is watching this collateral? What is his status? You know, because he's holding on to somebody else's object. Right? So he's, although this is the collateral, when you pay back, he's going to give it back. Somebody's holding a picarum. He's holding a deposit from you. So what is his status? The Rambam sits a machlokas in the Gemara, but the Rambam rules, Hareza Shoimer Socher. He has the status of a paid guardian. So you're going to say, that's kind of strange. What do you mean is the status of a paid guardian? He's not paid to watch this. He's the guy who loaned the money out. He's just holding on to his security. What's the paid guardian over here? So the Mefarshim explained like this. If you recall, we had a Gemara in Bava Metzia many moons ago. But a Machloka says, what's the status of a Shomer Aveda? If you find a lost object, right? Well, as long as you're holding it, you are a shomer, you're a guardian. And what's the status of the guardian? There's a machlokas if it was a shomer chinam, a shomer sachar. And what was the svara to say is a shomer sachar? Do you remember the svara? Why would he be considered like a paid guardian if you're watching the lost object? Remember? Do you want to jog the memories? So it was called the pruta de Rabbi Yosef, the penny of Rabbi Yosef. What happens if while you're watching that lost object, you're taking care of it, and while you're taking care of it, a mishulach comes and wants some money, and now sorry, I'm busy taking care of the lost object, I can't give any money right now, and now you've benefited that you don't have to give the money for that. If you recall, there was a lot of discussion about that. What do you mean? He's not getting to do a mitzvah now, but there is a real financial benefit. No matter what you want to say, you are relieved from paying money to anybody who's asking for tzedakah, because osik b'mitzvah putter b'mitzvah. You're engaged in one mitzvah, you're free from another mitzvah. So at the time when you're doing something for the lost object to make sure it's being taken care of, let's say you have to roll, you found a safer, you have to roll it occasionally. If you're in the middle of taking care of it, feeding an animal, and somebody's coming, I'm sorry, I'm doing a mitzvah. And therefore you save. Now it's not a lot, it's not necessarily going to happen, but you've got that knowledge to know that I'm free from that. So that made him a shomer sachar over there. So the same thing over here, that while you're watching this object for the person, you have to take a certain degree of care of it, and you're also being osik, that's a little bit of a stretch here, but he says that you're also osik in a mitzvah, because what was the mitzvah you were doing? Lending the money. You lent them the money. That's a mitzvah. But I lent it to him, but I can't take such a risk that I can't take a mashkin, I can't take a collateral. So although he's osik in a mitzvah of lending the money, and part of the mitzvah of lending the money is as a collateral that I have to watch. So he's going to be busy taking care of the collateral, and when he comes, he won't have to give him, and therefore he saves the money, and that makes him a shomer sachar, according to the Rambam. So now the fellow who's holding on to the collateral, if he's a shomer socher, so what are the laws in case something happens? Lefikach, therefore, im avar hamashkin o nignav, what if he loses the collateral gets stolen, chayiv bidamav, he has to pay back the value of the collateral. Okay? So for example, the commentators explain, if the collateral was worth the same amount as the debt, then the borrower does not have to return anything, because the collateral has been lost, and that equal amount of debt. If the debt is greater than the collateral, then the borrower pays the difference. And if the collateral was worth more than the debt, then the lender has to pay him the difference for what he lost, because he's a shomer sachar, he's required to take care of those things. But even a shomer sachar, v'imnenas hamashkin, but if the collateral gets an accident happens, so it's beyond the control of the owner, kegon shenilkach belistim, mizuin, armed robbers came and took it, ukiyetz, or similarly, mishar and us, and other types of accidents. What's the lacha when a shomer sachar has that? Yishava shenenas, he swears that it was an accident, and therefore he's off the hook. And now, the fellow who owes him the money, v'yishalim bala mashkin, the guy who owns the collateral, who has the debt, he pays his chova at prut achron until the last penny, and he can't say, well, you know, you did kind of lose my thing, I should have some consideration, even though you don't have to pay, maybe reduce the debt load I have to pay, nothing doing, you gotta pay the full amount. He's a shomer sacher, he's not required to do more than that. All right, now, Bayes is going to mix in two concepts at the same time. If you recall, we had this idea of Baal of Imo. If somebody is watching something, you borrow something from somebody, you have a law of a shomer, but you also are having the owner doing some work with you at the same time. It's a special, I think there's an echo in this room here, Martin. I'm not sure. My ears are playing tricks with me. So, it's a halach of Baal of Imo, and therefore, it's exerus a kusav, you're potter, even though there you'd normally be chayv as a shomer, but if the owner was with you at the time, working for you at the time of that, you don't have to pay. So that's one concept that's going to get mixed into over here. And we're also going to talk about simultaneous borrowings over here. So let's analyze this. If a person says to his friend, Shmorli, you watch an item for me, ve'eshmorloch, and I'll watch a different item for you. And they're doing it both at the same time. I don't really understand why that would be necessary, but that's what they're doing. What?
It says, person, watch an oracle for me today, and I'll watch an oracle for you tomorrow.
I don't believe that's the first case. You may be looking at the second case. You might be looking at the second case, Kenny. Okay. So the first case is we're borrowing at the same time. So it's the same day. Maybe one guy is, you know, already watching animals, and the other guy's watching things that aren't animals. He says, listen, give me your animal, and I'll watch both animals together, and you can watch things that aren't animals. Whatever it is, for some reason, I'm watching your thing, and you're watching my thing at the same time. So now, what is that like? Well, really, each one is having the owner of the object they're watching working for him to each other, right? So therefore, it's a case of balavimo. The owner, you took the owner together with that. So Harez is Shmirabal, and that's watching it together with having the owner work for you, and therefore you would not have to pay under that circumstance. Rambam doesn't say it, but it's obvious what he means. And therefore, as we explained early in the first chapter, Halacha Gimel, even if the Shomer had a Peshia, was negligent, doesn't matter, and because they each borrowed each other at the beginning of the loan. Because they were both at the beginning of the watching. They were both watching each other's animals, so they were working for each other at the beginning of the watching. So therefore they're potter. Now he clumps together three or four cases, all gives them the same halacha, and they all have like little different nuances here. Amar lo, what if he says now, Shmor li hayom, he says, you watch for me today, ve'eshmor lecha lemocher, and I will watch for you tomorrow. Now that is not a case of Baal of Imo. That's not with the owner watching with you, because nobody's watching for the other person at the same time. It might be an understanding of what's going to happen, but I'm watching your thing today, and you're watching my thing tomorrow. We don't have any of us working for each other at the same time. So in that case, we'll see, it's going to be the same halacha as another case here. Now, the question now is going to be, there might be some issues of damages, whether there will be some negligence over here. What kind of shomer will they be treated like? What would you say, before we get to the end, which one? Now, they're not going to be a leniency of Baal of Imo, because they're not working at the same time. I watch your thing today, you watch my thing tomorrow. So what's the status of each of the guardians? What kind of shomer are they? Shomer Sechar, why? You're right. Why? So that's like the payment. It's like he's getting paid. My payment for watching your thing is that you'll watch my thing for free tomorrow. So that's my payment. I'm watching your thing. Am I getting anything right? Yeah, because tomorrow you're going to watch my thing. So it's like you paid me. It's like each one paid each other to watch. So each one is a shomer sucker for the other one. That's with regular guarding. Now what if he clumps them all together until he finally says the halacha? Hashileni hayom, lend me today this object, vani ashil chalamachar, and I'll lend your object tomorrow to you. So that's going to be the same type of case. Whatever the halacha is, still, they are like a even though he's a shoel, but you're getting paid for each one's really paying the other one for the watching. So that's also an ask of paying, which is not the same case if they would have said, I'll watch for you today, I'll borrow from you today, and you'll borrow from me today. That's not the case Ram mentions. That would be Bala Vimo, you'd be Potter. But here each one is lending to the other one day for the other. Or Shmorli Hayom, guard, watch it for me today, Vashil Chalamachor, or I will, and then I will lend you tomorrow, or Hashileni Hayom, or you lend me today, Vashro Chalamachor, and I will watch you tomorrow. In all these cases, somebody's getting something for something over here. Each one's benefiting the others. So Kulam Nase Shomri Sachar Zelazer. Each one becomes a Shomer Sachar for each one, because each one is has a certain benefit from this. And if it gets stolen from the guy or lost, then he has to pay. Okay, Gimel. Now we go to a different aspect. What if somebody give you are a what do you call it? A professional, a guy who fixes things, right? So now somebody takes an object in you to fix. Now, what status of a shomer does he have while he's working on the item for you? I bring you in a chair to fix my chair. So you're working on my chair, but aren't you supposed to be watching it also at the same time? So what kind of status of shmira do you have over there? So kol ha'umnim, all the professionals, shomrei sachar hem. They are a shomer sachar, like a paid guardian. Even though he doesn't get paid to watch it per se, but he certainly is benefiting over the fact the utensil is under his control. Why? Because this will guarantee that he's going to get paid, which is a tremendous benefit. You know, the guy gives you something to repair a table. Let's say a table's worth $100. He wants to repair. It's going to cost you $25 to repair it, right? Now, as long as you're holding on to it, you're very happy to hold on to it. Because if he doesn't pay you, you got a table that's worth $100. So you got a benefit that you know you're going to get paid. So that makes him like a shomer sacher. Okay, so therefore, whatever would be the laws of the Shomer Sachar apply. So let's say it gets stolen or lost, then he's got to pay for the entire valid thing that gets lost. So that's status number one. Now, what if the Kulam Shomer, so let's say the guy finished the job. Now, at one point does he stop becoming the Shomer when he finishes the job? So it depends on how he words it. The Kulam Shomer, they say, for example, Tol Eshelcha, the guy says, I'm finished, take your thing. Right now, go take it. I don't want it anymore. And then you'll bring me the money afterwards. So bringing is not contingent on the money. He's just saying, take it, and then give me the money. Or the professional said, Gamartiv, I finished, but the owner hasn't taken the utensil. So in both cases, what the professional is saying, listen, I'm finished with this. I don't need this in my shop anymore. Pick it up already. I don't want to watch it anymore. I'm not holding you to have to pay me before you give it to me necessarily. Just get it out of my shop. Then from that point onwards, ha'umen shomer chinam. The professional is a free guardian because he finished the work. He's not benefiting by holding it on anymore. He's like any shomer sacher that after the time, let's say regular shomer sacher, I hire you for a week to watch it. Okay, paying you $50 to watch it for the week. The week's up. The shomer sacher says, that's it, the week's up. Now go take the thing for me. And the guy waits a day or two. What happens then? He's not a shomer sachar anymore. He's watching it for free. He's a shomer chinam. So the same thing over here. The guy who's making the thing, as soon as it's done, it's unfinished. I don't need it in my place anymore. And I'm not holding you to the payment to give it to me before. So as far as I'm concerned, go take it. So under that circumstance, he now devolves to become a shomer chinam. However, avolim amar ha'uman ha'vei ma'os. But he says, no, first you give me the money. Then vitol shalach. Then you can get what you want. Since he prefaced taking the money before taking the object, he has now made it clear that he will not give the object until he gets the money back. And now he's benefiting by making sure he gets the money. A dayan who knows say sachar is considered like a shomer sachar kishoy like it was before it, and it didn't change because he's still benefited by the object being his rishus. As he still now is holding it as a mashkon, it now is changing status for me holding the object to shomer sachar. Now you owe me money; you can't take it till you pay me back. It now has become as a collateral, and as we said before, any collateral is a status of a shomer sachar.
Okay, we continue in halacha dalet. Okay, now the halachas get a little trickier now. Nosan lu'umnim. Now he gives it to the professionals, lasakein, to repair the item. Vikilkulu, and they damage it instead of repair it. So now what happens? Chayovim lishalim. It can give Mark the thing. Chayovim lishalim, whoever needs it. Chayovim lishalim, they have to pay. Ketzad. So what's the case? So let's hear the case. Nosan lechars. Let's say he gives to a carpenter. Shita tevel umigdal. Different types of boxes, cabinets, drawers, things like that. Big items that are take up space. And what for? Ligbaba hem masmer, to put nails in them. So it's to repair them. What happened? Ushfarim. They broke the whole thing. The whole thing got smashed. Onasan lo esa eitzim. Or he gave him the wood, lasses mem shita tevel umigdal, to make these dressers or drawers. Right, so gave him the wood. Vinishburu achashanasu, and then they made, and then they broke it too. So now what happens? So mishalim lo d'mei shita teva mingo. He has to pay them the price of those items if they would be complete, even though he only gave him the wood. Let's say he has to give him now the value of what, the full item, because they had made it as such, and then they broke it. And here's the point: sheina uman kona bishvacha kli, because the professional does not acquire the item's increased value. Okay, when he's making it for somebody, he's getting paid to do his work. And whatever the item becomes improved in its value, as it's there, it still belongs to the owner, and the worker has not acquired the profit because he's getting paid to work at it. So you might have thought, well, okay, he had this wood and the material was worth the chmes. He gave me material worth $40 and I made the thing worth $100 and then it broke. So let me just give him $40 or whatever. So he says, no, when it became worth $100, it was the owner of the woods. It was a $100 value item now that you broke. And now you have to pay him the $100 of that value. Now, you know, you could contend that we're going to cancel off some of that by the payment you'd have to pay the guy. You know, we'd have to see, because how did it get from 40 to 100? Of the work that fell in. You could discuss that issue, but still he still has to pay for that full item, because the rule is, Sheino Uman Kaino Bishvacha Kelly, because the professional does not acquire the extra value of the utensil as he's working on it. Next scenario. Nosan Semer Letzaba. He gives wool to a dyer, Vihikdach to Yoira, and he burns it while it's in the pot. Okay, so now he messed up all the wool. So Nosan laid the maid samar. He has to give him the value of the wool that he was giving him. Now, what if tzava'u ka'ur? He dyes it with not the best dyeing materials, but he uses, let's say, the dregs of the dye from before, reused dye, as it were. I don't know how the English translates. It's called dirty. Is it translated dyes it dirty? Is how he says ka'ur? What?
Unattractive.
Unattractively. So he dyes it, but it's not exactly what the owner was looking for. An unattractive dye. On the son of lo litzva adam, once they gave him to dye it red, litzva shor, he dyed it black. Shachar tzva adam, he wanted to dye it black and dyed it red. Or, these are all cases where the professional did the job. You can't say he didn't do a job. He just did the wrong job. It's not breaking the item, but I wanted red. You know, he gave me a blue one, right? Nosan eitzim lecharish. He gives wood to a carpenter. Lasus v'im kisei no, to make a nice chair, a nice beautiful chair. And instead, v'osa kisei ra, he makes a not such a nice chair. Osafsa, for that matter, he makes a bench. So he didn't make a chair; he made a bench. So now, how do we deal with what this fellow has done? Now, there's going to be two items involved over here. We're going to have the increase of the value of the item. All these things, whatever I gave him had a certain value. Now the item is worth more. It's certainly worth more. It may not be to your liking, but it's worth more. You gave the guy wool, right? So now it was worth X, and now you gave it to him to dye, and it's dyed. It is, has a certain value. Then there's also the costs involved in making it. So now we have to determine, so what the general rule is going to be, we obviously going to have to pay this guy something because he did something for you, but we put the worker on the short end of the stick. Yada lamata. In other words, whatever the calculation is, and it's going to be a payout, we're always going to give the worker who did things wrong the lower amount of money he should be getting. See, mashevach yosolatzol, let's say the increase of the value of the article is greater than the cost it was to fix it up, then nosen bal hakli esotzol, then the owner of the utensil only gives the cost, because that's a lesser amount. V'imatzol yisel hashevach, what if the cost was more than what the increase in value was? Then nosen yisel shevach bavad, then only give him the increase of value alone, and not the cost what it was. So in the commentary below, he gives an example. Let's say if the garment was worth 1 dinar, before it got dyed. And after it got dyed, it's worth 1.5 dinars. Okay, so it went up from 1 to 1.5. It was an increase of 1/2. Now, what did it cost the dyer to make it? It cost him 1/4 dinar to make it. So now what happened? They gave him 1 worth 1. He increased the value of 1/2, and it costed him 1/4. Okay, so now I give him the lower amount. I give him the 1/4 because that's what it costed him instead of giving him the 1/2. Now if he spent 3/4 to improve it, but it only went up 1/2 dinar, then I only give him the 1/2 dinar. I always give him the lesser amount. Now what if Omar Balakli, let's say the owner of the item who he gave him, he may very well want to say, "Ain't he right, Sibitakarasu? I don't like the way it's happened here. I'm not happy with it." So Ella, what I want to do, yitain li, give me dmei hatzemer, give me the money of wool. Give me some just not dyed wool. That's what I want. The money of not dyed wool. O dmei ha'etzim, or the money of the wood that I gave, and you can keep the item, mister. You keep the red wool that I have no need for in my house, and just give me some regular wool, or the money, the dinar that regular wool would cost, just give me the dinar. Look at this. Ain shomim lo. We don't listen to the owner of that because I guess they feel that they have to do some kind of compromise, because the truth of the matter is the guy did work. Right, the guy did work, and he, you know, I don't know how negligent he was, but he's got to get paid something for what he did. I understand. This is a hard halacha. This is a hard halacha, but at least you put him. At least when he gave the payment, you put him on the short end of the stick, right? But still, he gets less amount. Like normally, let's say if it was 1, and now he increased it to 1.5, but only costs it 1/4. What would he normally have gotten? He would have gotten 1.5, right? Let's look at the case where the guy gave him the wool. It was worth 1 raw. Okay, when it's finished, it's going to be worth 1.5, right? Cost the guy only 1/4 to do it, though. Now, if he did the job, what would he have gotten? 1.5, because now it's worth 1.5. It's worth 1.5, right? What are we saying? He's only getting 1.25. So Rambam feels that's already enough of a compromise, because the truth in the matter, let's think for a minute. You got something worth 1.5. So what could the owner do with that now? Yeah. Sell it. If it's worth 1.5, you'll get 1.5 for it. Okay, fine. Okay, so this. Okay, but I gave you something more of value, and there is another consideration. The guy did put time and effort into it, and so therefore you've got this item. You're getting an item worth more money. You're getting an item worth more money, and now you deal, and now just pay me the 1/4, and now you can sell and get more. Rambam feels that's a reasonable compromise. Okay, I mean, I hear your question, because on the other hand, he could say, you just take the whole thing and you sell it. You could take this whole thing and you just give me, I hear, but,
hypothetically, somebody
commentators don't explain why, but we give the worker a little bit of a break here. I hear your point. I'm not arguing.
Somebody's making a wedding tomorrow, and the mother of the bride has a dress, and she has the bottoms the right color, and she wants the top one dyed, you know.
Okay, that's a Dovra Ovid. This is not a Dovra Ovid. This is something you can repair. It's the wrong color. Just go and sell it. Nothing about the day of the wedding now. Okay. I hear your questions. I don't know why the Rambam's taking one side over the other. He's taking one side over the other. Vechenim Omer Homan, and the same thing if the professional says, Heilecha Dmei Tzamrecha, O Dmei Eitzcha, he says here, take the money of your, wool, or the money of your wood and go. You know, just take your buck and I'm gonna keep it. right? Or give me the profit. Ain't, we don't listen to him either. Shein uman kainu v'shvach klish also. Because remember, the uman does not acquire the item. Remember, the whole point is he doesn't acquire the item. So it still is the owner's item. So you can learn, you can do it the other way. Because, listen, some guys can make profit on this. It's not that bad. If you're the owner, you can make profit on this deal here. You laid out 1.25 and you're getting 1.5. If you think about it, if you're a businessman, that's a good deal. It costs you a dinar to supply the wool. The guy makes it, you got something worth a dinar and a half. And you can go in the market and sell it. What did it cost you? A dinar and a quarter. So you made a quarter. See, the last little rabbi was saying, and it can't be the reverse. It can't be that the worker says, just take the dinar and I'll keep the item and sell it. We don't let him do that, because you see that's a profitable thing as well. So you guys are more, see, you know what the problem is? I mean, it's not bad, but we're used to service. And our idea of service is much more important than profit. In the olden days, you know, profit was an important thing too. And if I'm making, you know, let's just change the numbers a little bit. Maybe you'll change your tune. Let's say I gave the guy a diamond. Okay, it's worth $10,000. Okay, I tell him to put a setting, in a perfect setting. Now, when he puts in a perfect setting, it's worth $15,000. It costed him $2,000 to do this. Now we're going to say, you pay the guy $2,000 and now you own it. Now you feel so bad about it? Now you go to the jewelry store and sell it for $15,000. I made $3,000. Now you're going to feel bad about it? So it depends. You're looking at it as a few bucks and it's a thing at the... Yes, what are you talking about? $1,000... But I could turn around and sell it. And now with the money, I can make the color I want, and I made money on it. I don't understand what the problem is. We're worried about, you know, wasting our time. But you know, time is money, and sometimes the money is worth the time. You're looking, it's just a thing at the cleaners, and I got the hassle for $3.50. Okay, but what if this is a substantial amount of money? Okay, so you know, this could be thousands of dollars in a mistake over here. Right? So you get something that's worth thousands more, just sell it, and then you can buy the thing and you come out in pocket an extra $2,000. It's not a bad deal.
So then the owner should get his choice, what he wants to do. But they're only saying we don't heed what the owner says. Either.
Because it belongs to the owner. That's right. So that's you have to settle it in one way. But either way, the owner benefits. Because if the thing went up less and the price was more, you know, he always pays the less amount. So he definitely, the owner is the one who gains. You know, I could hear if they both agree, he could do it. I think, you know what I think? Because he's saying it is the owner's thing, because it is the owner's item. At the end of the owner's thing, and the owner can't force the worker to buy it. That's what I'm saying. The item belongs to the owner; it's his. The worker says, "I'm not in the business to go and sell things now. I did my job on it. You're not happy with my job? Okay, I'm willing to take a reduction in pay." You know, that he's suffering enough. A reduction in pay. You work the whole day. You expect to make $500. And guess what? You're only making $250. You've been punished. Don't think the worker has not been punished for that. Right? But we don't, you know, to the extent where he has to now sell it, the item belongs to the owner. Okay. Anyway, I see it's a contested Rambam over here. Okay. You know what? I think it's a good place to stop for today.